Law enforcement people sometimes refer to the Social Security number as the SOSH. 700147435. After looking for the listing, she might come back with something like, "He's got, 2602. The attacker would only have to look at the NCIC online to find the meaning of the number. The man has a case of swindling on his record. Analyzing the con. An accomplished social engineer wouldn't stop for a minute to ponder ways of breaking into the NCIC database. Why should he, when a simple call to his local police department and some smooth talking so he sounds convincingly like an insider is all it takes to get the information he wants? And the next time, he just calls a different police agency and uses the same pretext. You might wonder, isn't it risky to call a police department, a sheriff's station, or a highway patrol office? Doesn't the attacker run a huge risk? The answer is no, and for a specific reason. People in law enforcement, like people in the military, have ingrained in them, from the first day in the academy, a respect for rank. As long as the social engineer is posing as a sergeant or lieutenant, a higher rank than the person he's talking to, the victim will be governed by that well-learned lesson that says you don't question people who are in a position of authority over you. Rank, in other words, has its privileges. In particular, the privilege of not being challenged by people of lower rank. But don't think law enforcement and the military are the only places where this respect for rank can be exploited by the social engineer. Social engineers often use authority or rank in the corporate hierarchy as a weapon in their attacks on businesses, as a number of the stories in this book demonstrate. Preventing the con. What are some steps your organization can take to reduce the likelihood that social engineers will take advantage of your employees' natural instinct to trust people? Here are some suggestions. Protect your customers. In this electronic age, many companies that sell to the consumer keep credit cards on file. There are reasons for this. It saves the customer the nuisance of having to provide the credit card information each time he visits the store or the website to make a purchase. However, the practice should be discouraged. If you must keep credit card numbers on file, that process needs to be accompanied by security provisions that go beyond encryption or using access control. Employees need to be trained to recognize social engineering scams like the ones in this chapter. That fellow employee you've never met in person, but who has become a telephone friend, may not be who he or she claims to be. He may not have the need to know to access sensitive customer information because he may not actually work for the company at all. Mitnick message. Everyone should be aware of the social engineer's modus operandi. Gather as much information about the target as possible and use that information to gain trust as an insider. Then go for the jugular. Trust wisely. It's not just the people who have access to clearly sensitive information, the software engineers, the folks in R&D, and so on, who need to be on the defensive against intrusions. Almost everyone in your organization needs training to protect the enterprise from industrial spies and information thieves. Laying the groundwork for this should begin with a survey of enterprise-wide information assets, looking separately at each sensitive, critical, or valuable asset, and asking what methods an attacker might use to compromise those assets through the use of social engineering tactics. Appropriate training for people who have trusted access to such information should be designed around the answers to these questions. When anyone you don't know personally requests some information or material, or asks you to perform any task on your computer, have your employees ask themselves some questions. If I gave this information to my worst enemy, could it be used to injure me or my company? Do I completely understand the potential effect of the commands I am being asked to enter into my computer? We don't want to go through life being suspicious of every new person we encounter. Yet, the more trusting we are, the more likely that the next social engineer to arrive in town will be able to deceive us into giving up our company's proprietary information. What belongs on your intranet? Parts of your intranet may be open to the outside world, other parts restricted to employees. How careful is your company in making sure sensitive information isn't posted where it's accessible to audiences you meant to protect it from? When is the last time anyone in your organization checked to see if any sensitive information on your company's intranet had inadvertently been made available through the public access areas of your website? If your company has implemented proxy servers as intermediaries to protect the enterprise from electronic security threats, have those servers been checked recently to be sure they're configured properly? In fact, has anyone ever checked the security of your intranet?